Yo, it's the most dope show. It's about that time to get live. Take a break from your 8 to 5. Them other guys don't have the ability to rip it. We kick it. Three guys on representing with the most killer spirit. And we coming with the jokes. So you better grab a good pen and pad for your notes. And forget them other folks, because we got the best quotes. Randolph does more than just jokers. He woke and he got the files. Tell Andy Klein to turn up the dial. I don't know where that boy Tim is now. Raising a daughter, he hella proud. Andy is straight up and Randolph ain't here for racist. When Tim Miller hit, that got funny as shit. The sock puppets always be there to assist. Too many to name, but they all of this shit. I guess I could try. Love me some Frankie French. Milner and
Mike B.
Be lit. I cannot forget about Petey and Chris. J.L. Covan with them Trump impressions. Riding Cameron coming from the black guy who tips. That's a whole damn nation, so they always near. Pop, pop, bang, bang. Getting green, romaine. Three guys on sock puppet nation. Gang, gang. Yeah. What up,
Dominic?
Puerto Rico, Suave. I know you thought I forgot about you, but I ain't forget about you, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico, Suave.
Speaking of rap beef.
Who's she beefing with? Who is she beefing with?
Well, that was wasn't that Wyclef, that song? Lost Ones?
I don't know. I never felt like it was specific to him, but
I remember hearing that.
That might have been people making shit up, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been. I mean, there's a fair amount of rap songs that are just about the haters in general.
Yeah.
You know? But I do remember back then. I guess, yeah, no one confirmed. I remember back then, it was like, Lost Ones, that's about Wyclef. Listen. He's talking about Wyclef.
Is it?
I mean, it could have been. He never issued a response. We're still waiting. Still waiting for the Wyclef clapback.
I think when he put out "I'm in love with two women,"
oh,
that must have been the response.
In fact, I'm just fell out of love with one of them. So,
remember when he had the rock in one of his songs?
Yeah. I do remember that.
The Rock.
You walking down the street, anything can happen. What? Say what? Anything can happen.
Back when The Rock was still black, The Rock was also in one of the other ones' videos.
Well, The Rock is still black.
That other Fuji. Izzy Rod.
Yeah. He's Stephen A. Smith black.
He don't think he is.
Proz had The Rock on a song.
He was in the Proz video, yeah.
Well, that's the one I'm thinking about, yeah. Anything can happen, right?
Anything can happen is a Wyclef song for sure. It's on the carnival.
Damn.
Ross was the Rock was in one of Proz's songs. It doesn't matter what you think, saying that shit.
That's it, yeah.
Did Proz have did he like make a whole album? I feel like I've memory holed his whole career other than the Fugees. I know he had a couple songs. Yeah, was there a Proz album?
I think so. Didn't he have that single that walked down to Electric Avenue?
Well, that shit was terrible.
Oh, he sampled that.
So bad.
It was terrible.
Proz discography. Well, I'm gonna Google that.
I'm gonna start getting Proz shit.
Okay, the score. Obviously,
they're gonna be jacked up, Andy.
Blood and All Reality and the Score. Those are his Fugees albums. Ghetto Superstar, 1998. So that was, I remember the song with Maya.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was a whole album. I don't remember anything else from that album. Ghetto Superstar. Then he had something in 02 and something in 2018.
Something. The other one.
There's a couple somethings in there. The other one. Something. Couple something else's. Oh, he had something called Win, Lose, or Draw in 2005. Ghetto Superstar was 98, and then Win, Lose, or Draw was 2005. That was a full album. Did not chart anywhere. like if you look on
that's got to be some sort of record.
If you look on Wikipedia, it shows the chart for like Ghetto Superstar. The U.S. it peaked at 55, U.S. R&B 35, Australia 54, Germany 68, Norway 9, and then for Win, Lose, or Draw, every country is just a dash. Like it didn't even chart high enough to have a number. I don't remember that album. I don't know if he had a single or anything. And then he had some other songs through the years. A lot of dashes, actually. A lot of dashes on Proz's charts.
Well, he about to dash his way to prison. So,
I thought he was supposed to already be in prison. What happened?
He already in?
I don't know. He was out on that tour. Here's all the dashes. Win, lose, or draw from Praz. Just dash. Did not chart or was not released. And then...
That's got to be a record, I would think.
He's had a lot of singles that just went dash. Literally.
You said dash means still available on the shelves. Is it available, Jimmy?
They all went dash. He had a song called Pump Fakin' in 2017.
Did he?
It went dash. Still available at the used CD shop, maybe.
It's like we got some new shit to call somebody. Man, your shit just about to go dash, dog.
It just went dash.
Just went dash.
You ain't even going to wood. You just getting a dash.
You just went dash. Results pending.
And it's like his shit is in that $5 bin at Walmart.
Yeah. Oh, no. Right next to the Steven Seagal movies.
Dash.
They get bad, then they're $4.
On April 26, 2023, Praz is found guilty of 10 criminal counts. Then he went on tour. So I don't know what. Oh, I don't know if he's in jail. He went on tour after that.
Well, you know, there's two justice systems.
Now, John Forte was pardoned, right? By. Was it by Bush?
I don't remember how long that was.
Yeah, it was President Bush. Pardoned John Forte in 2008 as Bush was preparing to leave office. I think John Forte got caught at an airport with a bunch of, I think drugs, I think he had cocaine or something in an airport. Whatever it was, he went to jail for it.
More like,
go hard or go home.
More like John Snorte.
Oh no.
I see what you did there.
Forte was arrested and charged with possession with intent to distribute cocaine and conspiracy to distribute. He was convicted and sentenced to mandatory minimum 14 years, being found guilty. In 2008, his sentence was commuted by George W. Bush. It was a mandatory minimum sentence.
And ever since then, Michelle Obama been cool with him.
Right. Her good friend, George W. Bush.
They're buddies.
I don't think he went. I don't know if he did any music after he got out of jail. He probably tried. I don't really remember much of him either. He was on a couple Wyclef songs, right?
Same.
Yeah. Forte. I remember that.
I remember him being shouted out.
I remember Wyclef rapping about him.
Yeah.
Right. I remember him getting more shout outs than I remember him saying anything.
Yeah. I remember there was like one song he had a verse on it. The Staying Alive song, I think.
Yeah, it was like John Forte, get on the mic at that out of the day.
Yeah, and then it's
like, my time.
Yeah, he was on the carnival. Forte released his debut solo album, Poli Sci, in 1998, produced by Wyclef. The album featured Fat Joe, DMX, and some others.
What? Why is the title a college course?
Poli Sci. I don't know.
That's not an easy course either.
Because he's smart, y'all.
He did study classical violin.
Oh, that's okay. Real close to Poli Sci.
he went to Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire. That sounds fancy. Like a high school, like a prep school or something. I don't know. He's a mystery.
Well, he's going to be a mystery in prison.
Or is it maybe just not your forte?
Oh, Lord.
I saw that there was a Chris Brown diss track last night.
I don't even understand that one.
He doesn't even rap, but he's rapping on the diss track, right?
He sure is. He is rapping his ass off. I was shocked.
That shit was everybody's
just
cool.
They're all just trying to do the Cat Williams and try to get some shine off this shit.
I think this is different.
You think so?
Yeah, because you obviously haven't heard it. I think Quavo's going to have to shoot this nigga.
On site, yes, because he went hard. He went like super hard. It was like, nigga, my like, have to hurt you?
Like, this is some thank God we don't have the Source Awards type shit. Someone is getting shot behind this shit. And I'm not even joking. Yeah, someone's getting shot.
Some of that hurt my feelings. I was like, well, God damn.
What brings this on? What's his beef with Quavo?
They both used to date Karrueche Tran.
That was girl. Really?
At the BET Awards, when there was a backstage kerfuffle over her, the same night the Migos and
did you
Joe
just
Budden
say
got into it.
Yes, over I did.
Kerfuffle.
Yes, I did, sir.
Over her, there was a kerfuffle.
Paid professional writer. when that happened, that same night that they got into it with Joe Budden, that I guess that was over Karrueche Tran.
So, okay.
But does this girl got the magic stuff or something? What they fighting
well,
about?
Well, Chris Brown's a fuck. He's obsessed with her. He was abusive to her. She has a restraining order against her to this day. And I guess for some reason, Quavo decided to put it in a song this year where he said, don't be like she late. The bitch is with me or something like that. Don't beat the bitch when she get home. And everybody was like, oh, this is about Chris Brown.
That doesn't sound like a rap of love to me.
It's a song, right? It's
no,
song.
It does not,
Randall. The song is called Tender.
I don't know how you guys take that, but that doesn't sound like a loving rap song. Don't be.
And then Chris Brown apparently took that quite personally.
Yes, he did.
And responded in a way that...
I got something to say.
He responded in a way that honestly made me think, someone's got to kill this man. So I'm not saying I'm hoping he get killed, but I just don't know how.
I was like, sir, them fight words.
You can say the things you said about that man on that song and that man don't have some people that just either you kill him or he got to kill you.
You know what? I was just going to ask because I pulled up the lyrics to this song. It's called Weakest Link.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask jokingly, did at some point in the song, did Chris Brown call Quavo gay? But mm-hmm. I just looked at the cover art.
Of course he did.
I looked at the cover art for the song. And I think it's a he's gay reference. See?
Yep. He's eating a hot dog. Is there another
eating like a hot pocket
about this on stage?
Eating on a glizzy.
A hot dog that I'm aware of. You're going to eat it with and a fork like a what, Dominique? Like a fucking maniac, you're gonna eat him with a knife and fork.
Peep the triple entendre, called him the weakest link.
Oh, sausage link, like a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a
and so you got
crazy person,
the hot dog, and him in it. They both the weakest link.
So it is kind of like calling him gay, because you got to throw that in there
for sure.
Of course,
is this
call
the new
down a glizzy?
Is this the new
beef? And I'm kind of upset as somebody who likes hot dogs. God damn, I just want a regular ass hot dog. Why my hot dogs got to be a glizzy?
A glizzy of all things.
Right.
Glizzy guzzling is prime, like, insecure men feeling like that's homoerotic.
Yeah. These lyrics do go get a little personal.
Yes, they do.
Very.
Jump ahead.
Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with C? Who wants smoke with me? Who wants? Yeah. Okay, let's get down to the facts. Pussy, I'm dripping red. Don't let this R&B shit fool you niggas get ripped to shreds. Quavo talking like he a thug, nigga, you a bitch with dread. Can't wait to see the day that you back up all of that shit you said.
You pointed
it? Just for a few seconds. I mean, I don't think he'll shut it down. I think Chris Brown wants it all out there.
I think
but
want us to say it.
Mm-hmm.
We play shit.
And when he says I'm dripped in red, is that a gang affiliation?
Yeah,
is Chris Brown a blood? Chris Brown's from Virginia.
Well known, Breezy of Blood.
Where did were the Bloods in Virginia? Didn't he start grow up in Virginia?
I don't know where he grew up, but I know where he lived now. He red down.
Must have been grad chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it the ad lib. He says
grad chapter.
He says, you a bitch with dreads, and then the ad lib comes in, you a bitch.
Mm.
Like it's it doesn't even
artiste.
He just says it, and then you hear the other voice repeat it right here. You a bitch with dreads. You a bitch.
It's wild too, because like this is an R&B singer.
Right.
The R&B singers of our days wasn't prepared for all this.
Mm-hmm. Quavo
they was begging.
Like, you're a thug, nigga, you a bitch with dreads. When did be having dreads? Okay. Can't wait to see the day that you back up all that shit you said you own. What's Andy, you do my, when do y'all do the drops at the end?
Oh, they
what's with all the ball shit you talking? You ain't no huncho, nigga.
You
ain't no huncho?
I lost my place. Well, I forgot where you are. Okay, there you are. I found it.
You the weakest link out your click. Let's keep it 100, nigga.
100.
Come on now. Give me some.
I think it's more like 100.
Give me some fire.
You are not dealing with the youngins.
No. You fuck my ex-hoe. That's cool. I don't get no fuck, little niggas.
Still a bitch.
Okay, yeah, that's not me. Because I fucked your ex when you were still with her, bitch. I'm up, little nigga.
I'm up. Little
nigga, I'm up. Roll it down. Roll it down. Roll it down, Andy. Let me move the chat out the way. They say revenge is sweet.
Revenge is sweet.
Now think about that shit. Don't let that line go over your head. I might just sing about that shit.
Crack.
Wait a second. That's the gay reference. Sweet. Okay.
No. That's the girl.
That's reference to Saweetie.
Oh, so okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Who he was dating. Quavo was dating.
Okay.
And then the revelation becomes Chris Brown saying, not only did I used to fuck Karrueche Tran, when you was with Saweetie, I fucked her.
Well, now you're just going to put Saweetie shit out there in the street. Okay.
They're taking a random ass straight shot. They're probably not even together no more.
Not only is he putting a street out there, he going to tell you, I had a feeling about that dick. There's something sweet about that shit.
Yeah. Oh,
I got some tea about that bitch, but I ain't going to speak about that shit.
No, I'm just kidding.
I ain't playing chess with a checker player. I'm a ticking time bomb on the detonator.
Yeah,
bitch.
I shit on this. I defecate it.
Yeah.
I put Amigo on a ventilator.
Yeah.
Stop talking about beating girls. You was beating bitches on the elevator. We seen the tapes. That's devastating.
You bitch.
You doing bad. You a bitch and your music trash.
Yeah.
Fashion Week, they sat me next to your lame ass. I was truly mad.
What?
All I kept thinking about was breaking your face, but I gave you a pass.
What?
You lucky I ain't want to fuck the money up, boy. I would have broken you in half. Quit trying to be tough. You ain't like that. Why you keep showing off? We're talking about drugs. You the only pack that I've been smoking on.
Whoa.
I just hit my plug, told him, come back. I'm going to need more than one.
Come on.
Your last album was a weed trade, just some bullshit that we all roll up on. You know his song, Put You to Bed, Night Night. That's a Sudafed.
Yeah.
Show me that I'm tender, bitch. Time to prove what you just said. R.I.P. Takeoff. He's the only real one that got true respect. That don't even rhyme.
Yeah, he's the dude that actually really died. I remember the team that actually died. Yeah.
Crazy how when he died, everybody really wished it was you instead.
Oh, shit, bro.
You tripping, Chris. Don't say that. Don't lose your head.
Damn.
You done turned a big bad wolf on. These fuck niggas never knew revenge.
Woo.
This is what happens when a fuck nigga push a real nigga out to the edge.
Yeah.
This is what happens when a dumb nigga get fame and it goes to his head.
Yeah.
You gonna kiss this ring, nigga. You know who he sound like right there, Juvenile. That sounds very juvenile-ish right there. You gonna kiss this ring, nigga. Big fuck you from my middle finger.
Yeah.
I'll tattoo my trigger finger.
Yeah.
Bring real beef to your dinner table.
Bow.
Momentum don't say they never stable. I know this shit gonna sting, nigga.
Wow.
I'll run your ass through the ring. Is that me, nigga? You just got bodied by a singer, nigga, bitch. Oh my God, this is terrible.
I like Boogie.
No, it's not.
You have to hear him rapping because you're actually because you're doing it in like your tone, but when you hear him saying it, you'd be like, oh my gosh.
And that's how it's done, ladies and gentlemen.
I would have to fight you.
That's ignorant as fuck.
Yeah, someone needs to do a remix.
You can't have no moral standards when the girls are fighting. Mm-mm.
That's the only way I've ever seen a beef won. It's gotta be primal and fucked up. I've never seen one of these elevated motherfuckers win a beef.
Right.
He was just saying mean shit to this
man. I fucked your girl.
I fucked your girl. I fucked your old girl. I don't even care about that girl.
Yeah, we both beating bitches.
Yeah, that line where he's like, we seen the footage in the elevator, like, we both beat women. He didn't even deny he beat women.
Nope.
He's like, but we both beat women, so shut up. God damn.
You're a Nazi.
Then he said the other dude.
They're women beater. They both beat women.
Then he said his friend and teammate that died, he's like, everybody wish it was your ass. God damn.
Yeah, he's not trying to say. this whole thing about like do a softer song and then you draw the guy in, then you hit him with the sequel to the song. Chris Brown is not doing that.
Nope. Mm-mm. At the end, he like, and I hope we see each other. Like it was like, and when I see you, I owe you a fucking up now.
Right.
God damn. He has a line where he talks about, yes, I am unstable. Yes. What?
Yes, I do beat people up, including females sometimes.
And you do too. So shut up.
We both do from time to time. It's fine.
Time to time.
So this song came out of nowhere. Is it just, I guess he's riding the wave of beef.
Well, the Tinder song came out first.
Okay.
And that's when Quavo was calling him Tinder. He was saying Chris Brown. It was actually kind of funny at first until this came out. But he was like, the bitch with me, something. And when she get home, don't beat the bitch up, nigga. Or something like that.
Don't beat her up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Brown was like, oh, word. We talking about beating bitches? I got something to say.
Right. Must be talking about me right now.
Do we really need to say don't beat her up? Do we need to say that? Is that a thing that has to be said?
He must be talking to Chris Brown.
Yeah, that's something that probably needs to be said when you're talking to these dudes.
Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. Someone put in the chat that there's that Drake AI thing. Is this just going to be like every week we're going to see grievances?
Yeah, the Drake AI thing didn't do it for me.
It seemed a little weak to me too. Because the AI, it sounds like their voice, but it's not their inflection anyway.
Exactly.
Right. It don't really sound like it was written in their tone.
He should have took more time with it and made it sound like them. Then at least it would have hit. But it just sounds like a... like Tupac reading Drake lyrics,
right?
Yeah, it's not Tupac's flow. It doesn't have the inflections. Mm-hmm. Same with the Snoop one. And then Drake's verse is whatever. I don't know. I mean, it's fine. I'm not a huge Drake fan, so.
Wondering how any woman even connects with Chris Brown. What you gonna do? You gonna be
probably gonna at the end of his fist.
I'm gonna be the one to change him. I'm gonna be the one to change him. You gonna be the one, huh?
Well, people always look, man, we being real, dog. People always had that thing of like, but he good.
But he good. A girl told me that. Used to work at the gym. He good.
Yeah. So I'm not even really judging because I know I got my people that I'm sure I listened to. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, this nigga piece of shit, but the song is good.
Yeah, but they won't even do that. He's a piece of shit. That's a distinction. It's an important distinction.
It took me a while to work to that. I didn't start on it. It took me a while. Some of them just got to grow up, you know. But also, I've never been dicked down to the flow, so I don't know. Maybe
you don't know about that life.
Yeah, maybe I'm talking about
you. Got to be one to take that fist though.
You will be amazed, child.
No. Like maybe it's some dudes beating women that got bad dick, and this is like at least he got some good dick. I don't know.
You know what? That's a true statement. But like this, at least if he breaking my back, the punches might be worth it. I don't know,
because them women be back there taking photos with him after every show. Yep. I'm like, they must be getting dick down to the flow.
Yep, we all know his history,
right?
We all know, he's crazy. He beat up a dressing room.
The whole room got some
beat up a dressing room,
the dressing room released a diss track first.
He has something to say.
He was like, well, I'm not gonna stand for this. He's from Tappahannock, Virginia, which is actually a little bit northeast of Richmond. I thought he was from further down in the 757, but Tappahannock, I don't know what goes on there. How do you become a blood in Tappahannock, Virginia?
Is that next to Chappaquiddick?
Different area.
Tappahannock, Virginia. I don't even know it. I've never been there. I don't know anything. It's like small town.
It's the same way you become a blood in Kentucky.
Yeah, I guess they have chapters all around the country.
They spread.
The blood does spread.
Virus.
And also, Breezy could have Breezy got the money, so he could just pledge at any time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he buying all the drinks. They not even going to jump him in too hard.
Yeah, I guess you could join. I mean, he probably joined after he moved out of Tappahannock, Virginia.
Yeah, in L.A. or some shit, trying to be, you know, safe.
Which means he was already famous.
Yes. And
then he joined the gang.
That's the way to go in. You don't want to try it the other way.
Mm-mm.
No, it's like getting a degree first and going to the military. You start as an officer.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. You do it the other way, you had to be in a gang first.
Right.
That's the hard part of being in a gang. The being in it for so long.
Right.
It's all the
hard part of being in a gang is being in the gang.
You want to get, you want to go to the graduate class, you want to jump the line a little bit.
TMZ from 2014, Chris Brown. He's no gang member, but Bloods are cool with him representing. Is he a fake Blood? Is that what's going on?
Not like he fake.
But he throws gang signs.
Of course they're accepting him. And why? Because he good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chris has aligned himself with the Fruit Town Piru set. Fruit Town.
Fruit Town.
What is Fruit Town Piru?
No, I'm kind of gay. Gay.
The Fruit Town Piru is a subset of the Piru Gang Alliance. But geographically, is that they're from Compton. Oh, and they also have chapters in Houston, Newark, and Birmingham.
Okay.
I would like to see the organizing papers.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, I wanna see the INC on this one.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever got banned for hazing? What? How does this go?
Right, because remove your charter.
I believe you're thinking about the charter agreement from 2007, signed by Big Blood, Triple OG.
Because I could see them getting banned for that.
So Soulja Boy also claims Fruit Town Piru.
Yeah, they be at the charter meetings.
They at the meetings together.
I like to call this session of the Fruit Town Bloods together. The eyes have it.
Does anybody have any news? Any new news?
I shot a kid.
All right.
All right.
Not all at once, everyone.
That's a good one to know.
Okay, first order of business. Again, every meeting I start with this, shouldn't we change our name from Fruit Town?
Right.
Let's have a vote.
Now, you know we can't pull out the Articles of Bond Federation. To do that,
the Fruit Town Piru started in Compton. Oh, okay. The gang was named after various streets in their neighborhood, which were named after fruits such as Plum Street, Cherry Street, and Peach Street. Mm. Okay, mm. Fruit Town
okay.
Piru.
That makes sense. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
And that's how they ended up getting so tough.
There's never
the name came before the gang,
right? They had to be toughened up from living on the fruits.
It was like, we're in Fruit Town. Hey, okay, we got a couple guys from Fruit Town over here.
Oh, fuck the fruits?
Tough. Yeah.
Some guy from Asparagus Avenue shows up. Right. Oh, come on, fruits. You want some of this?
Nah, man, I'm from Vegetable Bill, bitch. We don't fuck them fruits, except for tomato. Tomato somehow fuck with both groups. They cool, but the rest of these motherfuckers could get it.
Tomato's a double agent.
So okay. Here's I just saw an RFK quote that just popped onto my time feed. So
is he a Blood?
Yeah. I think he's a Chappaquiddick Blood, Rob.
Oh yeah, he probably is.
I think RFK. Don't quote me on that, but I think he's a Chappaquiddick. He's Chappaquiddick founder.
Yeah.
Apparently, Robert Kennedy believes you can't eliminate racism by telling people don't be racist. What you can do is we can make our kids resilient.
Mm.
Okay.
Which ones?
That's the biggest question.
Which children, sir?
To which Black people immediately are like, you want Black children to have the same resilience he learned as a wealthy white man from a prominent family, and expecting that to be enough? Kind of ignorant, sir. Just stop being racist.
I like the idea. I like the idea of we should teach our children.
Right.
Right.
Like, no, sir,
you should teach your children to not be racist. That's what you want to do. How about this, Robert?
It's all the same. It's all a call to inaction. At the end of the day, They're just trying to find a way to do nothing. So that's right. It.
About that shit.
Yeah, about everything. It's Martin Luther King said, just sit back and love more, love harder, and be colorblind. In
let
action.
Back, let the COVID run through you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, I don't even understand why the government need to get involved in this.
How can we do nothing about this and make it sound justified?
Fucking ridiculous. We have any emails?
Oh, we got, yeah, we might not get to everything.
Let's
we got
do a couple. Comments. Pick a couple.
Some comments and some emails. Let me go to the folder here. All right. So we got Ron B said, a nice semi-old school show. It was just the two of us a couple episodes ago. Nice semi-old school show. Just the two of you. Great episode. Thanks, fellas. Jonathan says, we have Pizza Hut that still has a buffet. That's extremely rare.
Oh,
you're
one of the few places. Yeah, it's... The only one I know isn't in North Carolina. It's in South Carolina. All the rest of them, no. It's like in the middle of nowhere, up on the exit all by itself.
Yeah, like Pizza Hut forgot to close it down. Like they didn't.
Yes, it's probably the only Pizza Hut in like the town of 100 or some shit like that.
Yeah, the buffet is a special thing because you don't even the carryout places don't have that. You got to have a dine-in. Mm-mm. With the arcade games and the jukebox.
Wendy's used to have the buffet. My mama used to work. I used to love Wendy's buffet.
Oh yeah, the Fixin's Bar was Roy Rogers. Wendy's was called what was their buffet called?
I forgot, but it had like the salads and the potatoes and all that type of stuff. The chili,
Kirby said I still get a Pizza Hut personal pan every now and then. You know, my Target has a Pizza Hut inside, but it's never open. I don't know if it's just they just haven't taken it down or what.
Man, them pan pizzas used to be hitting, dog.
Yep,
the ones that was in the pan, like you was in the restaurant, you seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
joints just never miss.
Those pans were like 400 degrees. We would just put them down on their table in front of you. Yep. Like, here you go. Just don't burn yourself.
Away with no warning. You know,
no lawsuit ever.
No lawsuit ever.
Because in the 80s, we didn't sue for stuff like that. We just looked at your kid.
The waiter just looked at your kid and said,
"That's how you learn."
You saw the steam.
Waiter just looked at you like.
Right.
Like literally, we would take the pizza out of the pan, cut it, put it back in the pan. Get this little cork thing that was like to go under the pan so it wouldn't burn the table. And then we would just bring it out to you and say, here you go. And it was up to you at that point to not hurt yourself.
Little baby's just reaching in.
Yep.
Right. Can we get a cup of ice to put our baby's hand in?
Like, right. The baby's reaching and everybody's like, no. Just let them do it. Let them do it.
Yeah,
that's how you learn. That's how you learn.
Why? Because this is how you learn. Because we're gonna sue. No, because he need to learn.
He need to learn. Shit is hot.
We got a comment from DL White, who we talked about whether ASAP Rocky is someone that women found universally attractive. She says, "I was working, so I missed this. In my book, ASAP Rocky is probably too young to really think about him like that. If he's charming." That's what changes the man's looks. Let's not discuss women. I don't think we have the same rules. I know nothing about him, but at least he's not embarrassing her like Hallie's dude. When I dated, I looked older men. I liked older men, but about 10 years ago, 10 years is my limit. Years down the line, the age gap became cumbersome, and I don't want to be a nurse. Mm. 10 years seems doable. 12 years seems doable. I think the relationship we were talking about was like 23 years. That seems...
About 23 years, yeah.
Yeah, that seems like that's a lot. A little far. You're going to be... A lot of your life going to be taken care of.
Peter sent us an email.
How do you take care of himself, though?
Unless you kill him.
There's always that option.
It's always an option.
Yeah. I shot an old man.
Not quickly, of course.
I slowly poisoned the old man. Because, you know, we're not violent. We will find him. Because men just think, you ain't nothing but old bitch. You ain't going to do nothing. Word. The person that feeds you and watches you while you sleep.
Right. That's slow poisoning over a period of months.
Yeah. Right. And slowly take you out.
A little dirt in the IV.
take you on
glass and a little crushed glass in the oatmeal.
Yeah. Let nature take its course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonder why you tasting blood.
Peter sent us an email titled ChatGPT and Arthritis. What it do, 3GO crew? Andy, on Wednesday's show, you mentioned that list of words that indicates someone is using ChatGPT. Delve, safeguard, robust, demystify, and in this digital world. I already hated that the children George Bush left behind only learned enough reading to tweet, but especially shit like this because it implies having a robust diction is a sign you use one of these bullshit chatbots and not that you actually read. Even the implication that chatbots writing isn't easy to recognize is annoying. Last Tuesday morning, I went to the gym, had a hard workout, and ended the day with 16,000 steps on my Fitbit. That next morning, I woke up looking forward to go running on an elliptical, and my osteoarthritis, big toe joint, said to keep my ass in the house. Randolph, is there anything I should look for specifically in a personal trainer? Since I have arthritis and flare-ups are a thing for me now, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for all the dope shows. Peace, Peter.
Yes, you need a personal trainer who has a main line to that good shit that you can put into the vein. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? Oh. We'll do this off mic. Yeah, what you want is a trainer who specializes in working with special populations. Make sure they have a certification in working with special populations. Yes, they make that. Your boy happens to have one. So then he'll know, he or she will know. Get a woman, as I'm thinking about it now. So you can find a woman trainer.
Also, Peter, we're not calling you special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to say special covered a lot of stuff, but just
it does. It covers the certification covers working with cancer patients, recovering cancer patients,
people with cancer. Okay, they're considered quote unquote special.
It works with pregnant women,
older people, right?
Yes, dealing with the older, with the elderly, with what they call elderly, and dealing with people coming off injuries as well as things like arthritis and stuff like that.
Okay, so, I got you.
Yeah, you want somebody that has certification and working with the special population, and you make them show you the certification. Don't you? Oh yeah, I got that.
Is this supposed to be in crayon? What's going on?
Yeah, I got that. Is it supposed to peel off?
Right. Is special spelled with a CH in the middle?
Make sure that they can get you that good shit. Did I say that out loud again?
Damn that good shit. God. You know the good shit.
Stop saying that.
Victor left a comment that reminded me that I still haven't bought tickets to this show, and I hope they still have some available. Victor said, I've got my tickets for the Roots picnic at the Hollywood Bowl. Super excited to see the Roots in Arrested Development. Here in late August, it's the Roots with Diggable Planets and Arrested Development and Wolf Trap.
AD. Yeah.
And I still, maybe I'll, I don't know if they still have tickets left. I meant to buy them. I forgot. Nicole left a comment. Raven Johnson is who got the revenge game. Tessa Johnson is the freshman that kept hitting threes. We misstated our Johnsons. And then Brooklyn Shoe Babe left a comment. This was on last week's 4-hour-long episode. Damn, what a great episode. The breakdown of Jim Everett's show of strength and rods underneath that high horse had me screaming. I had to rewind a couple times just to laugh again. Speaking of things that have me screaming with joy, X-Men 97. I love it. I can't explain how. It's just hitting all the right spots for me. I enjoy Kayson's visits every time. Randolph, thank you for breaking down why the OJ verdict was being shown in classrooms. Mm-hmm. Definitely realized it more in retrospect as I was 22 mm-hmm. at the time. My job catered a lunch and we watched in the conference room. There was even a betting pool about how long it would take for them to find OJ guilty. I bet not guilty in 5 days. When the verdict was read, I cheered because I made money. I was unaware of the racial optics at the time. A couple of the older black coworkers at the time pulled me aside and said that was a bad move. A week later, I'm in a conference being accused of cheering for a white woman's death in my young and naive way. Oh, they had a meeting. In my young and naive way, I tried to explain that Joe Montana would have gotten off because it was about a rich man, not a race thing. It was okay to bet on a man going to jail as long as we bet it guilty. 20 years later, I understand the racist dynamics of it in clearer terms. They had the HR meeting.
Yeah, y'all probably shouldn't have had to bet in the first place. That was probably the whole problem.
Yeah. They had the HR meeting. It's come to our attention.
Yeah, because the wrong person was cheering. Trust. If it would have been the other way around, they wouldn't have had a problem.
Yeah. I wonder how many complaints there were. Was it one? Was it eight? How many different people complain? Raphael left us a comment earlier today, I think. I was fortunate to be at the WNBA draft. Mm. First time ever at any sporting draft event. And guess who got the loudest cheers from the crowd? I'm talking about black women with heavy New York, Brooklyn accents, Latinas, men, Asians, LGBTQIA, etc. All cheering Caitlin Clark. I mm-hmm. cheered, and I know that the WNBA kicks off in May, so why shouldn't she be brought to SNL on the week of the draft happening in New York City? the attacks on Caitlin is becoming overblown. WNBA is not going to be marketing South Carolina's team.
Let me stop that right there. Who's attacking Caitlin Clark? Is someone attacking Caitlin Clark?
The opposing defenses are.
That I haven't heard of other than opposing defenses and that girl who was putting her hand in her face who shut her down in the second half.
Antonio Brown.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
That creepy-ass journalist.
There's one, and the journalist, that's two. Although I wouldn't say that was a journalist trying to attack. I don't know what the fuck he thought he was doing. I don't know.
He wrote a column to explain himself.
He wrote the column, and I'm like, you know, the guy's like an ally, like a serious, like, Colin Kaepernick should be in the league type. We need to Black Lives Matter type.
He's also
ally.
A jokester.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to be his goofy, jokey self.
Okay, so Lakita says, in the chat says, lots of people. Who are these people? Who are these people? Why am I not seeing these attacks? I'm not discounting that these attacks are happening. What I want to know is, who are these people that are attacking Caitlin Clark? Where is it coming from? Because I'm hearing this being said a lot. Well, she's being attacked for her success. I'm like, okay, well, who's attacking her? Because I haven't heard anybody attack her. All I've heard is, as I myself have said, is I don't have a problem with her. I don't like the machinations going on around her. She's great. Everybody says that about her. Everybody says that she's great. She's obviously great for women's basketball. She's obviously great for the game. So who's attacking her? What? If you say that everybody in the arena was, I'll come back to that. If you say that everybody in the arena was cheering for her, then who's attacking her? And if people are complaining about her whiteness being hyped up, it is being hyped up. What we're not going to do is act like her whiteness isn't a part of a huge part of the driving force of this package. That would be asinine to just say, well, that's not happening. That's not happening. And again, that's not her fault. So no one's even attacking her because of that, because she hasn't tried to trade on it. She said Maya Moore was her favorite player and her role model. She said that on Saturday Night Live. She didn't say that I'm out here repping white folks. It's these motherfuckers is out here putting the shit on her. She's like, never saying that. So who's attacking her?
It's like when people say, I hate that band because I hate their fans.
Yeah. I don't even dispute that, because that's a great analogy. You know, I hate their fans. I get that.
But it's like,
but you ain't got shit to say for the band. But you're not, hating the band.
Right.
You know,
but some people do.
I don't see this hate of her that everybody keeps saying people hate her. I don't see that.
I bet there is a contingent, or will be a contingent, that roots against her strictly because of all the attention she gets.
Once she starts playing, that it hate's going to come. Once she starts playing.
Well, they already, that's to be expected. I do see people hating on her.
Thank you. Do you see an absorbent number of that? Because all I'm asking is, I'm not seeing it. So if you say you're seeing it, then it's happening. I'm not seeing it.
I see it, but I think it's less about her and it's just more about all that shit that happened since the LSU. Since she beat South Carolina and then the LSU game last year. I just think mm-hmm. it's really that, and people are trying to turn it into something. Mm-hmm. Trying to say it's a bunch of other shit, but it's just. You know, that shit got a lot of people's attention, good and bad. Mm-hmm. And for some people, race is like wrestling. You know, you cheer for your side or whatever, and the side can't do no right, your side can't do no wrong. And so I think people been stewing in that shit for over a year on social media, and the takes are just coming to a head as she exits college.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Raphael said... the attacks on Caitlin becoming overblown. WNBA is not going to be marketing South Carolina's team because it's WNBA. Why is the post being moved? Is the rules now that Caitlin isn't a terrific player because her team lost in the college finals?
Let me talk about that. That's always been the standard as far as I knew. Like, you had to win. That was the standard. Now it's not.
I don't think that was a standard
Curry,
in college,
Steph
though.
Curry was a fan, was one of the best. He was an amazing college player. He didn't get a whole lot of hype. His team didn't win. They Davidson. And that was a true Cinderella story based on nothing other than him. His strength got them into I think they made it all the way to the Sweet 16 that year. Did they make it to the Sweet 16 or they made it to the Elite Eight?
Maybe the Elite Eight. I don't remember.
Elite Eight.
Did they make the eight?
I think so, if I'm remembering correctly.
So long ago. so long ago.
So
and the shit around him was people looking for reasons to not draft him. Well, he's too skinny. He's too this. He's too that. And then he came in and he's the greatest shooter in history of basketball, as far as I'm concerned.
Pure. But I think the spot on. I think the rules to be a great college doesn't necessarily. You don't have to win to be great in college, to be considered one of the best. I know she's considered maybe the best. Maybe that's different if you're going to be number one. But college is so, it's so hard to win because freshman year, you're generally not leading a team to a title unless you're Carmelo Anthony or Kareem. So the takeaway 1 year right there, you only have at most three more years. And then your teammates are changing every year. So it's, you can't build something long-term the way you can
not,
in the pros.
Not only that, but the difference, I think, for her, one of the reasons that people that know the sport, you know, will be like, yeah, she's great. She didn't go to a powerhouse.
No, she did
not. A lot of the people that shitting on her, that's like, you know, you didn't win a title. Well, you went to UConn. You right. went to Tennessee. You went to, you went to USC. Like, going to Iowa and pulling this shit off with at least three people that probably mm-hmm. will never see the WNBA.
Yeah.
And one possible, like, that's a hell of a fucking feat.
Yeah.
We mm-hmm. It's funny because people don't want to have it both ways, but the truth is in the middle somewhere, which is you can't say South Carolina Dawn Staley is his juggernaut and then be like, but she didn't beat him. So right. she's not great. Like, well, Dawn Staley ended up pulling off something a little bit different. Yeah.
And on top of that, with her gone, that they're probably not even going to make it to the tournament next year. It's a possibility.
No, they are not.
You know, that shows you how big of a difference.
I'll put it this way, Steph Curry left Davidson. We ain't heard about them since then.
She's probably the only person on her team that could have played for Dawn Staley.
Yes.
Right.
Like that, Dawn Staley will look at the rest of them girls like, what are you planning to do here?
Yeah, what am I gonna
do? Take regular classes.
I can point you to some classes. You want to meet with some professors? Because I know you're not coming here to play ball.
Not for me.
But yeah, but Caitlin, the only one that could have did it. So I mean, I always said anybody that thought she was gonna beat them. Okay. I was the biggest Caitlin Clark fan, y'all know, and I was like, it won't even be close. If they get within 20, they should celebrate.
Yes, I like the way the girl who defended her, I like the way she rose up after getting clowned in the year before. Okay, I got something. Complete shutdown.
Well, also, you can do that when you're 10 deep.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Well, Dawn Staley can say to one of you, hey, no offense. No, not tonight, baby.
Yeah.
You owe that girl.
Yeah, stay on her.
Use
stay
all her your fouls.
Like yeah. Stay on that girl like
tell
her.
Tell you shadow. What, I don't give a fuck if you go 1 for 30.
Yeah, keep your hand in your face. Nothing matters.
If you don't shoot today, I won't give a fuck. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
Got one job.
Keep your hand in her face. Do that for me, please. And she did it.
Held her 5 for 20, man.
Yeah, she did it. She held her.
Which is saying a lot, by the way. Which is like I said, it reminded me of when LeBron played the Warriors and Andre Iguodala, like slowed him down enough to where you're like
just enough.
It was a bad game for LeBron, but not for anyone else. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like yeah, man, he only had 28-7.
Seven. Close to that 37. It's 37-12.
Yeah, man.
But he still.
Just a bad night, man.
Really high numbers.
I'll tell you who the MVP is. Oh, is it the dude that's averaging the most from three? No. Is it the dude averaging the most points and assists in the series? Mm-mm, no. The man holding LeBron to 37 points a game.
Right. Yeah. Making it work.
Boy, he really shackled
him. He did the impossible. He slowed them down from 70 to 55.
But if you watch the series, it made sense. Like it might not make sense on paper, but it made sense. And I feel like that's what that watching that performance. I said, yeah, on paper she got 30, but when you watched it, it was a hard 30.
Yes, it was compared to what she normally does.
Yeah, it was a hard 30 for her, dog. That changes everything.
Yeah, and I don't like the way. we all agree that her whiteness is being hyped up, but we don't want to act like we want to act like it's us. Just it's like that's just we just assume that, well, it's just par for the course. And so, you know, it is what it is, you know.
Well, it's just I think the people coming from the racial aspect that aren't familiar with the sports world, some of them are hopping in and just having a hot take about the race part and skipping over. Nah, she actually can ball. Like,
yeah, she can.
Like, there's a contingent of people that are against her, but also won't even admit she's good. And that shit, I think, fucks up the whole discussion because then it gives those other people a chance to flop and be like, oh, well, you just making it, you saying she ain't shit because she white. That's racist. And it's like, no, that's not, that's the, those people. That critique is not valid, right? That she's only getting hyped because she's white, because it's not like they don't have any good white WNBA players, guys. They have plenty of them, actually.
Plenty.
Yeah, so I think both extremes of the side give the other extreme something to react to, and they just act like all the people in the middle just don't exist. All the people that are like, she's good, and she has white privilege, and she's
getting a lot of, she's getting,
and she, yeah, like, there's like all that stuff is happening at the same time. You don't have to be on either extreme that she's just only getting this because she's white, or she's only getting, or she's.
I do like that. I don't like the shoe deal thing. That I didn't know this about the. I don't buy if I had a daughter who played. Was playing basketball. Mine is off playing soccer right now. But if she played basketball, I'd be buying little girl basketball shoes. You know what I mean? So then it would be in my purview to be like, hey, how come aren't there any black girls on there in these campaigns?
And the fucked up part, that doesn't bother me because that's more of the company. That speaks more of the values of the company than the players, because the other two girls, they're white, but they are good white players. It's the company.
That's the thing. It does bother
racism.
It does bother me because there's good black players.
Yes.
So look, what are we going to do? Are we going to start just bowing down to it is not, I don't think that's the right, capitulating to it. Or I don't even know if that's the right word, but you mean to tell me that nobody at Nike thought let's fucking sell some of these shoes to these black girls. Let's fucking sell somebody. Give me one of these black girls and get her on it. No one thought there. Is no one not watching the game? I don't know the dynamic of the league. It was 70%.
That's how there have been black girls with shoe deals.
Yeah, historically, there's been times where it was only black women. That
have there been? Okay, because I heard it was 70%.
Yeah, but it's Twitter, so Twitter has to do the thing. It looks bad today. Fuck everything that's ever happened before or after. Yeah. Angel Reese hasn't signed anything yet.
I assume she's going to get a deal.
Yeah, there's all kinds of negotiations.
I assume that early on that Angel Reese is going to get a deal. I don't know if Cardoza gets a deal. I would give her one.
That's the thing. First of all, big man shoes don't sell.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I don't know what, like, Shaq and if Shaq and Hakeem couldn't sell no damn shoes.
Yeah, because Shaq nobody sold his shoes. Shaq took his shoes to the discount store.
Yeah, I think it's about marketability because I think Angel Reese is probably getting something.
Yeah.
But look at Angel Reese.
Because when Flage comes, if she don't get a shoe.
Look at Angel Reese though, right? Like, we're not arguing she's the best player because clearly she was picked like eighth. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But we do know she's of the two most marketable players in this thing.
Right.
Market is not, it's not a meritocracy, it's a marketability thing.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm never gonna cape for Nike.
There's also the
over this shit. People, like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I do understand, but you know, it's just one of those things where people have to demand more of the companies themselves.
Right. And I get it. But I am of the let's demand more from these companies.
Right.
Let's give me the go make stars. No one wants to make a star anymore.
Happens with Angel before we say that.
Yeah.
Because I think
they did with Serena and Venus. They were like, we'll sign you now. You know?
Yeah.
What I need to see. We're signing you.
I think now it's more of a bidding war, especially with NIL and social media.
Yeah.
Now I feel like the negotiations it's different now than when you go out and you sign Cheryl Swoops and you go, we're going to make your own thing. I feel like now motherfuckers come to you like, all right, I want three signature shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I got this. I got a fan base behind that.
We'll do three Instagram programs.
The Bayou Barbie. She's got a huge contingent behind her now. So
I want to see what she gets signed and how much. That's going to be interesting.
Well, I saw somebody.
I can't wait to buy a t-shirt.
People are going to start checking the, well, how come she got more money than her? How come this girl got more money than the other girl? And it's going to be an ongoing thing.
But you know, it'll be funny. No matter what Angel Reese gets, there's going to, I want to see if the reaction going to be similar, where it's going to be black people that's been in the sport that's going to hate on it. Because they're going to be like, girl, I'm better than you. You ain't even get drafted, but number eight. And I've been running the league. I want my shoe. You know,
I'll take that argument. Say it.
You're going to have all players demanding, right?
Say it.
And also, Randolph, you bring up a good point. Yeah. You have a lot of parents whose children, the little girls, start watching basketball more frequently over the past few years, possibly because, like you say, these stars have been around. Yeah. And so their children are going to demand for shoes. Like, they're going to demand shoes. So I see some of these players going, I demand a shoe. You have children here and some adults that will be willing to buy these shoes.
Oh, I'd buy the shoe.
Yeah, the demand of it should go up.
What we need to see is some of the men wearing the women's signature shoes.
I agree, Andy.
Wouldn't hurt. You can get
put them in men's sizes.
Just make it in my size.
If they make them into men's sizes,
my size, I'll wear it.
I mean, because people wear LeBron's shoes in the NBA, obviously, who aren't LeBron. But I'd like to see that crossover, because that happens. I'm sure the WNBA players wear men's signature shoes, the lady version of it. But, you know, with the softer colors, the pastels. Mm-hmm. The list of WNBA players who've had shoe deals in the past, Cheryl Swoops had one with Nike. Rebecca Lobo, Lisa Leslie, Dawn Staley, Cynthia Cooper, Nikki McCray, Shamiqua Holdsclaw, all in the past. Two active players who used to have shoe deals, Diana Taurasi and Candace Parker, don't have them anymore. Brianna Stewart is with Puma. Elena Deladon.
Active players.
Nike with, and Sabrina, is it Ionescu, is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. She has a Nike shoe as well.
Yeah, she got a deal. And good for them for getting a deal, just... You know, I mean, it makes perfect sense that they get the deal.
I mean, I'll wear a lady signature shoe, you know, in a man's colors. You know,
gay?
Like a.
You know what? I'll wear pink. I don't have no problem with it.
I don't care about the color.
Give me the shoe.
Are you comfortable in your masculinity? How dare you?
Well, let me guess. You gonna
eat a glizzy too?
You gonna guzzle a glizzy in front of your boy?
That's what I meant. Guzzle the glizzy.
With your lady shoes.
It'd be for springtime. That's my springtime shoe.
But you are talking to the man that wears an escort.
Oh, shit,
So you are comfortable, sir.
Is this shoe gonna give me a bunion? That's what I want to know.
That's the number one question. Gonna fuck up my feet. If it don't, I'm good.
Yeah. No bunions. That's our guarantee.
I like that guarantee.
I didn't realize that Bomani and they were talking about Kev. I didn't hear him talking about the shoe, but then when I saw it, I was like, that shirt, I was like, yeah. Because I thought that too. I was like, you should buy me one of these jerseys. I'm like, oh no, don't do that.
Nah, you should do it, man.
No, man. I can't.
Cam Titties was sitting.
Wait, do they not have the WNBA jersey in his size?
He just bought the jersey.
They're not men's sizes.
They're not men's jerseys.
Yeah, they're cut for women, right? And they actually need to make them bigger.
The women ones have the cleave situation. Popular.
Yeah, right. A lot of times they're lower cut.
Yeah.
They don't just try to choke you to death. They're like, let's give a little bit of room, guys.
I mean, they got to make some men's sizes. Just, you know, you got to.
And that's a demand. Why don't men demand that they make shit for them? I thought it was equality.
First of all, let's not having men demand anything.
I'm sorry.
That's how we got here.
My bad.
But
I thought
his titties was sitting, man. And I think I think that's the point of the look. He should go to the game like that.
That is the point.
Did you see there was some guy online who ordered a Malaysia Fuwaili jersey and then realized that they're women's jersey, so he bought a women's XL and it was sexy as hell on him.
So he wasn't even, they didn't even invite Kev on stage to be on the show. They just took his video and clowned him.
Yeah, because Dominique doesn't know.
Yeah, Dominique doesn't know who he is. Yeah,
he don't be on social media like that.
As you start ordering,
they probably could have got him to come on.
That is a pretty, that's XL. That's a pretty tight jersey right there.
Make sure you check whether you are, what size you're ordering.
Think about it. They had never considered that a man would ever do such a thing. The world is changing so much that it never dawned on.
All right. So.
Yeah, it's cut around his shoulders and stuff. It don't even look like a standard jersey on him.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Some folks tried to like make a problem out of it. Like they don't even know who Kev on stage is. They're trying to, they tried to aggravate the video.
Why are they supposed to know who Kev on stage is?
Is there a Kev hive out there?
They tried.
Oh, yeah, he has a hive. It rolls deep.
But I think just talking with Bo, like him and Kev talking, they cool. So it wasn't even nothing like that.
Yeah.
If Kev won't do it right, he'll buy some more and just demand. Can y'all make him my size? Like just make a little bit bigger.
Or does he just have to buy like a XXXL?
That might have been the biggest.
They got that size. And look,
If you're that team and you're trying to get some shine, get him a shirt cut for him with his name on the back and take a picture with the team.
Ooh,
and post that shit everywhere.
If they were smart, yes.
Don Staley might do that. Don Staley might do that
everywhere.
Not that
she needs any more hype, but it wouldn't hurt. Plus, she's fun.
She's pretty savvy.
Dawn Staley's a fun human being. So she's fun. So I could see her doing, get him a shirt, cut it to his size, put his name on the back. We can bring him down here. We'll do a photo. We'll do something crazy.
I'd get him the whole outfit.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Sweatsuit, everything. Yeah.
And shoes. You know, they have standard shoes. I just get him the whole outfit.
We thought we'd send you this. You know, we just wear the shit on your social.
I think they should send him clothes. But all the clothes should actually be medium. They should be smaller than what you got.
Well, in that case, you send him two. You send him the small one, and then you have him do the modeling in both.
Every time you resend him a shirt, it's smaller than the last one. He can never get one that fits. That ruins the joke. He's always got to be trying to squeeze in.
And you definitely send one to Miss Kev on stage. You definitely do that.
Yeah.
Definitely do that.
And then you give him some courtside seats.
Yeah.
But he can only use the courtside seats.
If he's got the shit on.
He wears the small shit. So he's sitting there like this.
Yeah, they can make this work. You can get a whole little social shit building off this. Make this work. Did y'all see Tony Baker with the biscuits? Did I send y'all that?
Yeah,
he sent it.
Biscuits. We never did finish Raphael's comment. It's a long one. We don't have to go back to
biscuits.
Raphael is going to start going to New York Liberty games. He's all in.
Yeah, I wish the Sting was here. I would go to the games. I don't even know what the closest team to us is right now.
Did the Sting move or did they just shut him down?
They just shut him down. Not underneath this ownership, but when we had Bob Johnson, he just didn't want to pay for him anymore because we have had him forever.
That's enough. Yeah. That's enough.
And that's very frustrating. I wish they would have kept him.
You want these girls to make money, go watch them play. But as Bomani was saying, you try to put them in places where there is a strong contingent of people already watching women's basketball. Put a team near the South Carolina team, put a team in Connecticut, put a team in there and build up and out. Instead, you just put them in there. Well, we got a men's team there. We just put a women's team there. It'll go right.
Get this.
No.
Apparently it's not.
Here's the Caitlin Clark effect. The Washington Mystics normally play in an arena that seats 4,200 people.
Yeah. So they
got a game coming up against the Indiana Fever in June 7th. That game is being moved to Capital One Arena, which holds 20,000 people.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to sell it out, but they're expecting way more than 4,200.
Yes, because the thing about it, people can say what they want to say, but everywhere that team goes away, the arenas are going to be sold out or close to sold out because people are going to want to see her. I know if they were closer to here, I would definitely go to a game.
You know what I think? I don't know if I would move it to a larger stadium as much as I would just, let's just have the sellouts.
and let's just say we're selling out stadiums. Let's just have the sellouts. We'll go on the small end. I mean, what you're talking about now is we're going to move to a larger arena to make more money. Let's just say we have the sellouts. Are we regularly selling out stadiums? Are we regularly selling out?
I don't know how often they sell, but I don't even know if it's to make more money. I think it's just give fans a chance to buy tickets.
Let's just have the sellout.
You might freeze out 10,000 fans.
Okay, watching on television. We got to get people watching on television. That cannot be stressed enough. People got to watch these games on television.
The Las Vegas Aces have also moved a July 2nd game against Indiana from their 12,000 seat arena to a 20,000 seat arena.
Yeah, so put it in the regular arena, sell it out, and tell people, watch the shit on television. We need you watching on television. Watch it. Watch the shit on television.
Or better yet, sponsor a watch party.
Yeah.
Or better yet, kidnap a bunch of people.
I would advise against
this think tank.
Glue their eyes.
I'm kicking Roger out of the idea group. I'm sorry, y'all.
Glue their eyes open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Time the chairs. Okay.
No, I
need a projector.
Veto. Can I veto? Do I have the power to veto? I don't know. I'm vetoing that idea, sir.
Put them all in little jerseys and have them watching the game.
And booty shorts.
Yep, I've got my own. Now we're working.
Come on, booty shorts. Check what your mama gave you.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I think I would just leave it. Let's just sell out the stadium and tell people watch on television.
Look at it like this, though. The Vegas team is moving from a 12,000 seater to a 20,000 seater for one game. The Mystics place only holds 4,200 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they even have a 12,000 seater. They're going to have.
I don't know if they're selling that 4,200 out.
It's just for the Caitlin Clark game.
Yeah.
So they're only announcing it for that one game. So they're moving it for that one game because they expect probably a lot more than 4,200 people wanting to watch. But they don't even have the 12,000 seat. The 4,000 is the most they have at their current arena. I think they used to play at Capital One Arena.
Yeah, I don't understand if you have if you're going like, well, we got the male team, we got the female team, they play on an off season. Why can't they use the same arenas? You're not there.
I think it's because they wanted it to be more of a packed house.
The thing is, though, if I put you in an arena that seats, you know, 30,000, I put you in an arena that seats 30,000, and you only bring 10,000 in, how's that going to look on television? But if I put you in an arena that seats 12,000 and I bring in 10,000, how's that going to look on television? Optically, how's it going to look?
Okay. I think for me, the thing that frustrates me, particularly when it comes to the WNBA, is a catch-22. You have cheap ass owners. You have to spend money to make money. Mm-hmm. You had an owner that was like, these women are like over 6 feet tall. We're not going to fly them in like regular. They should be missing flights.
I've talked about that.
They got his ass the fuck out of there. The owners are goddamn cheap. You can't not invest money. Sense. Right. You can't not invest money and then turn around and be like, well, it's losing money. Well, you didn't invest in it either, did you?
So let me get this straight. I want to fly my team wherever the fuck I want to fly them.
Right.
And because you can't, I can't.
Right.
Fuck out of here.
You a broke boy.
It's my money.
Wait a second. Here's something. The move to Capital One Arena for the Caitlin Clark game will allow additional fans in the stands, as well as premium hospitality options, including suites and the all-new, all-inclusive courtside Hennessy Lofts.
Yeah, that's the new shit.
What's going to be in a Hennessy loft?
I got to Google that.
Are we going to be dipping in Hennessy?
That's the new shit.
We going to get Hennessy bags? What is this?
That's why I fuck with Caitlin. She, a rising tide lifts all ships. And the ocean is Hennessy.
Apparently it is Hennessy.
The Hennessy Lofts are brand new, ultra premium fan and dining experiences.
Oh, that looks so nice. Look at that. Oh, that looks nice.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You got a booth right here.
What's it cost?
Oh, I don't know.
It is an arm and a leg.
They have the prices on there.
Oh, that is nice. Get one for just a day.
Three elevated tiers of loft. So it's tier one is probably, let's see, tier one, two, and three. This is the three tiers.
Who gives a shit?
Okay. You get a waiter. You get a server.
Get a waiter. Oh, it looks like a professor of African-American studies. Come on, fam.
Okay. You're right by the court. You're right. You know, you're.
Oh, damn. That's close as hell. The basketball could really bounce into your food.
It could while you're eating.
Everyone's having a good time, of course.
Oh, you get free white girls? What?
They come with the package.
It's actually bottomless white girls. Double meaning.
Bottomless white girls.
Bottomless white girls.
Bottom of mimosas.
Get the mascot getting in your way. Okay, this is what they look like. You get a little lamp on your table.
So which one is tier one? We know where tier two is.
It's one is right here.
Which is one and which is three? I'll take three. I like men a little bit back.
And a little higher up, too.
No, yeah, like, okay. One is the closest and probably the most expensive.
Yeah.
I like
that. That is
three.
Nice.
I would take three.
What's the prices? Did they get the prices? No.
Oh, Chad, about a few thousand dollars a game.
We're still looking at the dining menu, the sample menu. Well, yes,
what's the dining menu say?
A lot, all right, see sample.
They're like,
menu.
You broke bitches can't get this going out there and buying hot dogs.
So they don't even put the price on the menus. That means it's
this is a game
the Hennessy cocktail, y'all. They got the Hennessy cocktail.
Of course.
I think the menu changes because this is from the Charlotte game last November.
Yeah, they don't have prices. They be like, if you got to ask for the price, you shouldn't be here.
Well, I bet the menu is included in the price.
That's what I was going to say, Mark.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Wagyu beef strip one.
Because it's not like it's giving you options. It's just telling you what's...
Yeah, this is what you can choose.
This is what you're going to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this got stuff I've never heard of before, like profiteroles, whatever those are.
Don't know. Oh, yeah, that's the strawberry pistachio torte.
Mini mousse cups. I'm all about the mousse. So.
Right.
Mini beignets.
Ooh, chocolate raspberry cheesecake drops. That sounds flames. That sounds like something Miss Smart would order.
You know what? I had a Henny Rita at that. Just we had brunch last week as I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, niggas love Hennessy.
It's the same drink. Yeah, it's the same drink.
We put it in everything.
It's good.
Wings.
It's good too.
When we were at that casino in Baltimore, didn't we have a Henny whiskey drink?
Yeah, we had a Henny drink. Yeah. I'll drink one tonight on stage. Watch.
Dad asked us, so how's it taste? And they're like, it tastes like Henny and whiskey mixed together.
You're talking about, well, we went to MGM.
Yeah,
it was a Hennessy. It was a Hennessy, Hennessy and champagne.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Like,
Yeah,
like
private reservation.
Like I don't know how they knew it, but they was right.
The Hennessy Lofts feature a curated 5-course dining experience, along with access to a full menu of beer, wine, and cocktails.
Of course.
All brought to your seat with a dedicated service team. Book
they
your appointment.
By the end of,
I just wanted. They don't want to tell us a price. See,
no, they do not, because they're like, you got to find out on your own.
We don't want to scare you off.
We don't want to scare you away.
We don't want to scare you off.
The Hennessy Loft to rent for the entire season is $128,000. What about one game? Can I get? How about one? Can I
get,
how much
season
is it for a season?
$128,000.
It's 40 games.
Oh Lord!
And you
so
got
divide that
games.
By 40 games.
Yeah, 42 games or 41 games.
Yeah, 41.
I'm trying to look for like more pricing information though. It's all okay.
Probably got a call.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
of course.
But I'm looking for one game. I'm not looking for the whole season.
One game.
And I guarantee you, parking is included. Like, it's a lot of shit.
Why would they sell it one game? They probably it's only for ballers.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Can I get a quarter? Can I just like watch the first quarter?
The first quarter.
This is their little mock-up of the Hennessy Lofts. It's this little section.
I want to be back in the back. I don't want to be up front.
Yeah, I don't want to be up front.
See-through?
I want to be in the back.
Is that like glass?
It looks like it's tiered seating.
It is tiered.
I think this is the same height as the booth.
That's why I said, which one is one?
One is probably
one, two, and then three is up. There's only two in the third tier.
I think I would want my seat in the front so I could look down on the peasants.
These people down there.
It is a great feeling, child.
I'd be like, how's it going down there, poor people?
How's it feel to be all stuffed in those bathrooms?
Do you guys want any parfaitites?
Oh, you never heard of it? Oh, they're pretty good.
There's some other shit I can't pronounce. They're pretty
good. It's pretty nice to me.
You have to pay for your food. Mine is the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Oh, you don't have Wagyu beef there? Oh, that's pretty good. You should try it sometime.
Yeah, I was having some sushi earlier. Did you have some sushi? No? Mm-mm. You didn't? They don't have the sushi for you guys?
You had popcorn? Like regular popcorn?
I miss popcorn. That's very quaint. I remember those days.
Oh, popcorn. I remember being poor.
That's going to be me.
Let me hip y'all on something real quick. Speaking of popcorn, you ever cook bacon and then you take the leftover grease and save it?
Okay, mm-hmm. I see where this is going.
Have you ever popped popcorn in leftover bacon grease?
Mm-mm. No.
Never even thought of that.
That seems like it takes the health aspect of the popcorn out.
Yes, it does.
I must say, there's nothing healthy about that.
Yes, it does.
That's the goal of popcorn, is to make it as unhealthy as
possible. So good. So good.
All right, let me ask you.
Microwave popcorn, it's regular popcorn that you have to buy.
You ever had grits with meth?
Meth grits?
It seems like it takes the healthiness
of
grits away.
It's all white. How can you tell the difference where the grits begin and the meth ends?
That's what makes it so good.
Yes, bacon-flavored popcorn.
I mean, it can't be bad.
Try it.
There's no way.
It's not an everyday thing.
Oh, you kill yourself.
It can't be an everyday thing.
All right,
it looks so sleek.
It looks really comfortable, the Hennessy Loft.
Mm-hmm. I also just in my mind picture someone getting hit upside the head with a baseball.
Yeah, seriously.
While you drinking your Hennessy.
That's why I want the third tier.
The booth thing is kind of weird because you're facing out. These people on the edges of the booth are facing. They got to turn and crane their neck to watch the actual game a little bit. I don't know if I like that.
I don't like that decision.
They're just flexing their money.
They should have gotten like captain's chairs that can rotate, that can turn. Each one gets their own chair.
I wonder if they're going to have celebrities there.
You know they will. That's probably where they're going to sit.
Because, you know, New York, the Knicks will invite celebrities to certain games and stuff.
Yeah.
Just so they can be seen being Knicks fans, quote unquote. I wonder if they'll do that here.
Yeah, DC celebrities are going to, I mean, it's going to be like politicians. It's going to be like Frank Luntz.
Ah, local and, politicians, yes.
And Wale. It's going to
be like Tucker Carlson.
Watching the Negroes play.
Tucker Carlson wouldn't be caught dead in there.
Shit like that. He's too busy going on Kill Tony.
He was on Rogan yesterday.
Of course he was.
And he did Academics podcast.
Of course he
Academics
did.
Is on that Rumble Network, which is all right wing shit.
Yep.
Of course he is.
So yeah.
Now Tucker's, you know.
Now Tucker's doing the image rehab tour.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to wrap this up soon. What else we got? So we got to wrap this up.
Well, we never finished the comment from Raphael. We got the gist of it. And we never got to Stefan's email, which is a long one. Well, I guess we'll have to get to it next week.
Yeah.
So
we do got to wrap this up, though. I got another side I got to do. Plus, we had such a good, if you guys would jump onto the Go Behind the Paywall.
Freeloaders.
Good shit on that. Andy, when we wrap this up, we want to talk about something I want you guys to hear as we wrap up. So
all right.
It's an idea I just had as I was sitting here.
We never talked about the Cybertruck, but we can always, it's other things will go wrong with
that piece of shit. We knew it was a piece of shit.
Did you see the video
that
got posted?
It's a piece of shit.
Did you see the video that got posted of his gas pedal coming off?
I read about it, but the gas pedal came on.
I'll play it real quick. It's a minute.
That's kind of a a production flaw, I would think.
This is what this guy posted on TikTok that I think led to the recall.
Cybertruck has a stop zone, and I might know why. It's got something to do with the accelerator pedal. So let me show you something interesting about my Cybertruck. Is that pedal looks different, right? Because it's missing this. So a couple days ago, I'm driving, and let me see if I can get a good view here. I'm driving and this goes here. As I'm driving, this slid up and wedged itself just like that.
Oh, that could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. But this wedged itself right there.
Oh, and it wedges. Holy shit.
The floorboard,
yep.
This sliding up and the way this was still hooked onto the pedal, it held the accelerator down 100%, full throttle. Now, I was luckily had a clear mind, didn't panic, and holding the brake down overrides the pedal. So I was able to stop the car, but anytime I lift the brake, it would start accelerating again.
So the brake overrides the pedal, but Cybertruck goes 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds. So by the time you get, it's a big ass truck that's super fast. So it gets stuck. By the time you're figuring out to hit the brake, you're already way down the road going really fast.
Yeah. You get for buying a Tonka toy.
So, Tesla had done a stop sale and then they did a full recall and they say it's the pedal.
That Minecraft car.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a Minecraft
car. Yes.
That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, so that's no longer on sale. I mean, they'll fix it at some point, I guess, and start selling it again, but yeah. They announced it 4 years ago. They still 5 years ago they still have it.
So like a why is it two separate pieces of metal?
It looked like the Transformers before they got from Cybertron.
Goddamn Transformers 85 looking cars.
Like before they got to Earth and could be like, okay, let's turn into a Jeep when they were just like shapes and shit.
Yeah. Right.
My thing is why is it two separate pieces of metal for the accelerator? Why isn't it
because it's cheaper than having one piece of metal,
one good quality piece of metal,
and because DEI.
If you understood technology, you would be working, but you, since you know what I'm saying, just be quiet because you don't know.
Somebody could probably be engineers
over here.
DEI, man. Anytime corporate shortcuts and malfeasance are happening, it's DEI.
Yep. Sure, Elon is saying that right now. He's running through the offices yelling about all the DEI at the company.
Why do we lower the standards to hire the black people to work here?
but with Elon, it's like, why did I lower the standard? Wait, I'm in charge. Right. Shit, I can't blame DEI now.
You mean I also want the federal tax credits? Oh, shit.
All right, so y'all come on back Monday. Come behind the paywall. We'll be here for y'all. We want to thank Rod and Karen, as always, for sitting in with us. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. We enjoy bringing it to you, as always. Let's wrap this thing up. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Karen Morrow.
I'm Rod Morrow.
And I'm Brother Mark.
And we have three guys on. We are out. Watch WNBA games on television.